Well, folks, it's an interesting time in which we live, and it's a beautiful Sunday. Also, it's a beautiful time in the church calendar as we celebrate Palm Sunday, and we're excited about what our Savior has accomplished and done for us, and we're going to kind of look at that a little bit. I'm also going to take you, if you want to take some time, as you'll be looking in your copy of God's Word, and Luke chapter 14. Even though that's not the traditional scripture text for Palm Sunday, I think there's a message there that applies to what we're looking at as we're heading towards the day that we celebrate as believers in Jesus Christ, that is the reason why we gather on Sunday, that being Easter, that we'll look at next week. But I want us to think about this text, and I want you to think about some things. If you have your copy of God's Word, so if you would, I just want you to follow along with me in your copy of God's Word as we read here. Luke 14, beginning in verse 16 through 24. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent a slave, his slave, to those who had been invited. Come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first one said to them, I have bought a piece of land and need to go and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought a yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into all the streets and the lanes and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded has been done and still there is room. And the master said to him, go to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how the Savior speaks to us. We pray today, Father, as we look at your word, that it will use me as your vessel to faithfully communicate that to your people as we listen across our media devices throughout Frederick and across the country and who knows wherever else this is taking place. We just pray, Lord God, that you would use this time, that you would be lifted up through it, that our hearts and minds would be pointed towards you and your purposes. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in the text here, Jesus tells a parable about a dinner that a rich landowner, a rich man has invited a lot of his friends to. Now, I don't know how it is for you when you get invited to dinner. We don't do as much of that as we used to. A lot of times it's more of a church gathering where we invite one another to. But in this sense, in that culture, it was a really big deal to be invited to someone's home, and they would have a big feast. And so this gentleman invites all these people to this feast, and they're, you know, it's going to be an incredible time, amazing food, amazing time of celebration. And then he starts getting responses back, and they start making excuses as to why they can't come. And when I think of that, I thought a lot about how Palm Sunday, that Sunday as Jesus came into Jerusalem, and all those people were gathered around him. Many of them were gathered for different reasons. Many of those people that were waiting to see the Messiah were just there because that's what everybody was doing. Some were there because, well, they were hoping this was the promised king. This was the one who was going to truly establish God's kingdom on earth and make a difference and make Israel the great nation that they wanted to be. There were all these different reasons why people were there that day. Well, they were celebrating and wanting to honor this one whom they believed was the Messiah. All these different things were running through their minds. And you realize in just a few days after this, many of these same people that are laying palm branches before him and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna has come, will be shouting, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. And these same approaches, these same people that are so excited and enthused in those moments, their hearts will turn because they didn't see the big picture. Much like the people in the parable that Jesus describes, who are invited by this landowner for this great feast, this great opportunity of celebration, they completely missed the point and the reason why he was giving that invitation and what it was all about. My fear is that many of us who walk along and seek to follow Christ in our lives miss the point of this great season of the year. Many people in our culture are focused on a lot of things. There are a lot of different things around Easter, and this is a strange Easter for many of us in the world because it's a time we won't be able to gather in our churches. We won't be able to dress up and share that time of celebration together. And yet it's also a time when we can remember what our Savior has accomplished for us. And Easter has not been canceled, and neither has Palm Sunday, brothers and sisters. God is still on his throne. God is still in control. God will accomplish what he desires through this. I do not pretend to understand why things are the way they are. That's not what I'm here for. But I do know this, that the God I serve and worship is in control. And the God I serve and worship knows what he's doing and will accomplish whatever purpose he has for us in our lives as we trust and surrender to him in that. And part of the struggle that many of these people had was they didn't understand who he was. And many of the people that are invited to the dinner that Jesus is describing in this parable don't really understand the scope of what they're being invited into. And isn't that true with many of us? When it comes to our Savior has called us and given us the call to follow him faithfully, to serve him and to honor him and to live lives that demonstrate His grace and His glory, we don't realize what He has called us to. It's so much more than we realize. And I think the text to me, as I was looking through it this week, it said a lot of things to me, but the focus of it was just, for me, a lot of times when I want God to ask me to do something or He is trying to move me in a direction, a lot of times I like to make excuses. I know you do too. We say, well, God, I'd follow you, but I've got these things going on. I've got this to do. I've got so much going on in my family, Lord. I really want to do it, but you know, I don't have the time, or I don't have the energy, or I don't have the resources, or whatever it is that we make an excuse for. It is simply that, an excuse. And just like the people and at that gathering of Palm Sunday, as Jesus came into Jerusalem, were so excited, they thought about the coming king, and soon they will begin to see it isn't what they were expecting. It didn't work out the way they wanted. And so instead of simply celebrating and staying in that moment, they chose instead to turn towards self, much like the people in the parable. Their hearts and minds were not focused on what they could experience and what this wealthy man had for them. Instead, their hearts and minds were focused more on what mattered to them. And the excuses came. And the excuses often come in my own life and in your life as well, when the Savior is seeking to lead us on the path that He has for us. And really, when you think about our walk with Him and what we are celebrating in the days ahead and what this season of the year means to us, it really is about for us as followers of Jesus Christ to understand our call and our place in the kingdom of God and what God is seeking to accomplish through us. God desires to do something so much more with our lives than we often realize, and yet so often in my life, and maybe in yours as well, I struggle to really surrender to that and to give into that and say, God, I know what you want, but it's hard sometimes. I don't really see how it's going to work out the way I want it to, and that's the key. Oftentimes, life does not work out the way we want it to. Can anybody relate to that in this season of the year? What we're going on is going on in our country, in our world? Things are not working out as planned. We're not able to do some of the things that we were able to do just a few weeks ago so easily that we thought were just a part of life. They're no longer a part of our life right now. And we're going through this season of uneasiness, this season of discomfort, a season of unrest, and we're liking, God, why is this happening? I don't know why this is happening, but I've got a really good idea that God knows exactly why this is happening. His purpose and plan for us is to bring about a change, maybe in the church, maybe in our lives individually, that helps us truly understand what it means to flesh out our faith in the world in which we live. I've heard a lot of people say when things get back to normal, when they get back to the way they were, it'll be different. My prayer for us as the Church of Jesus Christ is that things never get back to normal, to the way they were, because normal did not work. And the way things were going was not really making a difference in the world. It was not allowing us to be the kingdom people that God has called us to become. Something was askew. Something was wrong with the way that we were doing things in the Church of Jesus Christ prior to these moments. And I don't know the answer. I don't have that answer capsulized in my head, and I don't really think that's my point to have the answer, but I do know that the point for all of us is that we trust God in the middle of this and allow God to use this season in our lives to refocus our hearts and minds more fully and completely on Him and realize that He is worthy of our love, our devotion, our surrender, and that we will follow Him no matter what it looks like. Which was the struggle for these people in the parable, wasn't it? They had an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to celebrate with this master who has provided this dinner, and yet rather than take part in that event, they let the affairs of their life, the things that they saw as normal, the things that they saw as necessary, get in the way of what God was trying to do or what the master was trying to do. And I think we do the same thing, don't we? We're like, you know, I know what you want to do in my life, God, but you see, I've got to get all these things. God, I've got to get an education. I've got to get a job. I've got to do this. I've got to go there. I've got all these things to do, God. And I just don't have time for what you want to do in my life. And isn't that really the heart of what, at its core, Palm Sunday represents? The Palm Sunday celebration was a celebration where people seem to be excited. There seems to be a lot of enthusiasm about who Jesus is, but really it's empty and hollow because they really don't understand what God is about to do. And they really don't see or want to see what God wants to do with their lives. And they really don't want to fully give themselves to what God wants to accomplish because they don't know where that will lead. And that's a struggle for every one of us who call ourselves followers of Christ. We struggle with that reality of not knowing, of God saying, you know, we say, God, I'll follow you, And then we want to know where we're going. And all Jesus ever says when he calls us out as his disciples is, follow me. That's the call. Follow me. He doesn't say where. He doesn't say what we'll do. He doesn't say how it'll affect our bank accounts, our homes, our families, or anything else. He just says, follow me. Trust me. Walk with me. Let me have your life. And as we enter into a time when we will celebrate his resurrection next week, we also have to realize that before the resurrection comes the cross, comes the suffering, comes all that was necessary to deliver us from bondage and from sin. And our Savior willingly faced that and did that, and he knew all that was going on in the middle of this time as he's in front of those people, and as he shares this parable with the disciples, he's trying to remind them to prepare their hearts, prepare themselves to know that the day is coming when it will not be easy to call yourself one of my children. When there will be challenges that you face, when there will be struggles that come your way, when the excuses that you and I make, when the things that we think are normal, the things that we think really matter that are necessary, will not seem so necessary anymore. I think we're learning a little bit of this lesson in our world today, aren't we? We think at times that things that we used to take for granted, things that we always did, will they'll just always be there. We'll just always do it this way. We'll always participate this way. We'll always express it. And yet, life brings about changes sometimes that we don't have any control over. And many in our world are facing that in other ways as they face the struggle of life itself with the illness that they're facing or with other things. Because besides COVID-19, there's all kinds of things going on in the world. There's all kinds of struggles. People are still facing illness. People are still facing loss. People are still facing struggles. And yet, has God's faithfulness disappeared? No, it is still there. God is still present in the middle of that. And God wants us to remember, as he wants these people to remember, he wants us to remember that we follow him and him alone. And he walks with us in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the shadow, no matter where we find ourselves, God is present. God is there. And I think that's a great hope that we have in this season of life, in the world in which we live. It's also a great hope that we have in this text as these people are trying to figure out their lives and what's going on. I know it's just a parable. It's just a story that Jesus tells. It's not a real event, but yet it speaks a powerful truth to all of us because the call to us is in this text as well. Because after the owner, if you see in the text, he's gone through all these things and all these people have given all his excuses and he's invited people and he has this incredible banquet prepared and there's hardly anybody there. Nobody has hardly showed up. Nobody really wants to. Everybody else has something more important to do. And isn't that often happen a lot of times when it comes to God's call in our own lives? We trust him and we say we trust him, but then we have something else that gets in the way. We have something else in the physical. God, I'll follow you faithfully unless, you know, when this is done or when I've got this taken care of. And we go there just like these people go there and we make excuse after excuse after excuse. And that's all it is an excuse. And it doesn't really mean anything of significance, does it? It doesn't really change our hearts. It doesn't really help our walk with him. It doesn't really help us become more faithful and obedient. And what the Savior desires from us is that we follow him. And notice the call he says here. And he first, it begins there again after the slave comes back to the master in verse 21. And the head of the household is angry and says to the slave, go out at once to the streets and the lanes of the city. Go out and find the refuse, the people that are on the edges of society, the fringes, the dregs, those people that don't really matter to us. Just bring them into my banquet because it's going to be full. And so the slave and his fellow servants go out and they bring all these people in and still there's room. The place is not full. And so the master says in verse 23, and this is really, I think, the core of this text and really the core of our call as followers of Jesus Christ in the church of Jesus Christ. If we truly want to be called a church, this is what we need to be about. It's not about our style of music. It's not about our services. It's not about our gatherings. It's not about all the stuff that we think it's about. It's about this stuff right here in verse 23. And the master said to them, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. We are called to go to the places where no one else wants to go, where we don't even want to go, and to bring them in. To be where sometimes it's not comfortable, it's frustrating, it's difficult, it may even be a little dangerous. And yet he says, go. Go and compel them to come in. Not so much to come into the gathering, not so much to come into the fellowship, but to come into the kingdom. Because what we are about as followers of Jesus Christ, even in the middle of a whatever, a pandemic or whatever we're calling this that we're facing in our world today, we are called to be faithful to share the love of Christ so that others may come to know him. It's all about others knowing our Savior. It's all about them experiencing his heart and his love for them, knowing him fully and completely. That's what we're to be about as followers of Jesus Christ. It's all about that. It's still about that. It hasn't changed because of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. It is instead about what he desires to do in and through us. Compel them. God has a heart for those on the fringes of life. It's evident throughout Scripture again and again. In some of the commandments to the people of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt in Exodus, that's one of the things is when you find the stranger in your midst, when you find the person that's in need, you know, you were to leave your fields at the ends of you, were to harvest your fields to the edge, you were to leave the edge of those for people less fortunate than you, that they could come and gather food for themselves. You were to provide for those who didn't have a way to provide. You were to take care of those needs. You were to encourage others. You were to give them strength, give them hope. You were to show love and compassion in ways that meant something and really mattered in the lives of others. That is a command throughout Scripture. And I think as we look at this text here, we see it quite clearly. That is our command as the followers of Jesus Christ as we minister where God has placed us. God has put this church here for a reason. In 1960, this church was started. Almost 60 years ago, you realize that. It was started in a recreation area, a little building here on the what was, I guess, part of the park, and that then became its own facility as a ministry of one of our sister churches, as an outreach to this part of the community. And we are still here for that reason. But more than that, we are here not just for this neighborhood, but for the world to demonstrate Christ's love and God's goodness and God's mercy through our own lives and as we have opportunity to those whom we encounter. It's all about the heart and core of this in verse 23. It's all about others knowing the goodness of God. And I'm grateful for my own experience in my life that there were people at Westside Baptist Church in Hutchinson, Kansas that cared enough to do things a little differently, to get outside of their comfort zone and to make a difference for kids in their church. Our church was one of the first places in that part of that I know of, in America even, that began to do the children's worship or children's church, as it was called in those days. And it was a gathering where we would gather in a little room upstairs and there would be 60 to 70 kids pretty much every week, and they would sing songs, you know, songs that we have sung for years, and have a little short message, and all these different things would take place as a way to communicate the gospel to children in a way that we could understand it. I'm so grateful for that ministry of that church, because that's where I came to know Christ. It was because of their faithful witness. It was because of their willingness to do something different, of their willingness to reach out to their neighborhood, that I and many of my friends became followers of Christ. What about us? What are we willing to do to reach those around us? What are we willing to do to be the followers of Christ that our Savior desires to become, to truly be a part of the kingdom of God and to make a difference in the world in which he has placed us? And as we enter into this time of the year, as we celebrate the resurrection, as we are entering just what we call the Passion Week begins today with Palm Sunday. And all the things that will take place that we celebrate throughout the week are a reminder to us of the love that God has for us and what God was willing to do to restore that relationship with us. As I'm reminded of that, and I think of that, and I think of all the things that God is doing and has done in my life, and how far God was willing to go to make me his child, I cannot help but wonder in my own life how far I have fallen and stumbled and not really been what God has desired me to be. And being faithful to communicate that to those who are the most important to him, those who are the least of these, those who are in need of his love. Sometimes in times like this, we can easily to pull in the ranks and kind of protect ourselves and not worry about anyone but ourselves. But I want to encourage you, I want to implore you, brothers and sisters, to be praying for one another, but also be praying for the lost, praying for the harvest, praying that God is going to do something that only God can do through us and through this situation. I don't believe it's any accident that things are happening the way they are. I don't believe it's about government edicts. I don't believe it's about anything of that nature. I think it's really about something bigger than we realize. Because this is not an American issue. This is not just happening in Maryland or in the United States. This is a worldwide issue. My prayer is that God uses this in a way that only God can use it to make a difference in the church of Jesus Christ, that we truly become the church. that our hearts are breaking for the lost and for those outside that are in need of God's love, that we are desiring to do something to make a difference in the world in which we live, not just because so we can say, oh, look at us, but so we can say, look at Jesus, that the world may know, that they may experience the life that he has for them, that they may know him and the power of his resurrection and all that he brings to the table in their lives, what he wants to accomplish. And there are so many who have yet to hear. And we have a great privilege in being a part of making sure they have a hear. And yet in today's world, we have this opportunity. You know, a lot of times we look at the changes and the challenges and the discomfort and we can't do this and we can't do that. And I wonder if maybe God isn't trying to bring us together in a way that we never would have come together before because we're too darn stubborn. Yeah, I said the word stubborn. And too stuck on ourselves a lot of times to really do what he wants us to do. And much of this season, what we see in this text of these people, the three excuses are extremely self-centered, aren't they? And sometimes they're kind of stupid. I bought some livestock. I want to go watch them. I've watched a lot of cattle in my life. I don't really see the point, but that's what this guy says. I bought some land. I got to go look at it. I mean, really? Only the last excuse has any merit at all. I've just gotten married and I want to be with my wife. He said, well, okay, but it's about more than that. It's what the kingdom is about more than all of these things. It's not about our excuses. It's about what God wants to do with a life fully surrendered to him. What can God do when I say, okay, God, I'm tired of the excuses. I'm not going to make them anymore. I'm just going to say, Lord, take this life you've given me and do with it whatever you will. And then just sit back and see what God does. And as he uses us and get actively engaged in his kingdom work and it all being about him, then God can truly do something that only God can do. And brothers and sisters, I believe God is up to something on planet Earth. I believe God desires to do something that I can't even begin to fathom or explain. And you know, when I think about that for just a moment, it excites me because if I can explain it, then I could maybe manufacture it. I could create it. I could manipulate things or orchestrate it. But what God does things, it's beyond what I or you or anyone else on planet Earth can do. It's him at work as he brings us together as the Church of Jesus Christ to do what he's called us to do to make a difference in the world in which he's done. You know, several people a lot smarter than me and wiser than me have said hints that maybe God's doing this to bring about a spiritual awakening. I pray so. Like many of you have been praying for years that God would awaken the hearts of his people to who he truly is. That's really all spiritual awakening is. We get off of ourselves, we let go, and in brokenness we embrace the God who comes to us as Savior and Lord and his agenda for our lives, and he drives our lives, and he drives our church agendas. He drives everything about us. Everything about the way that we live is about what he is about. Does my heart break for the things that break God's heart? Is my life focused on what matters to him? Is my agenda, my purpose in life, my to-do list, all the things that I think matter to me, surrendered and submitted to what God desires? Or do I try to make God fit into what I want? You see, this isn't about growing our churches. This isn't about making us more relevant. This isn't about, you know, getting our name known. It's about the Savior. It's about Jesus Christ, the Creator and Lord of all, the one whom we worship and adore, the one who saved us and delivered us. That's what this is all about. That's what this season of life is all about. That's what it always should be about. And as the dinner was about a celebration, our lives too should be about a celebration. A celebration of what he has done for us. I want you to do something that seems kind of strange as you sat and watched this in your homes, on your computer screen, on your tablet, or wherever you've got it placed. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't often ask you. I want you to close your eyes for a few moments. And I want you to ask yourself a question. And I'm going to do the same. And the question is really pretty simple. God, what do you want me to do or not do? in order to live the life you've called me to live? How can my life be used to make the name of Jesus great where I live? It's obvious that I haven't been doing enough. And not so much that, Lord. It's obvious that I haven't been focused in the right way. A lot of things that I do have been focused on me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to let my life be fully surrendered to you and focused upon the purposes and plans that you have for me. I want to be on your agenda, Lord. Let your agenda drive my life. In Jesus' name.